so that we can get to know you a little better. You'll find them in the pew right there in front of you or in the chairs in front on the sides here. But we're thankful that you've chosen us to worship with today. If you'll open your bulletins, we have just a few announcements and then we'll move on. You'll see our baby dedication there is set for May the 13th. And if you're interested in participating in a dedication day, you need to see Pastor Chad as soon as possible for details on that. Chad mentioned last week that we have an invitation for today at Alpha Grove Baptist Church just down the street. They've invited our church family to join them in celebrating their 145th anniversary. So that's pretty phenomenal. The anniversary service is going to be today at 2:30. And, you have every opportunity to go down and worship and praise with a community church that is celebrating a great milestone today. So I think I heard, matter of fact, I know I heard they invited us to lunch also. So they're going to have lunch at 12 or 12:30. If you want to go down for that, you can do that. But definitely the service is at 2:30. And I hope that some of our people will be able to enjoy that. We have a youth event coming up. They're invited to attend an off-site fellowship at the Peaks of Otter, Sunday, April 22nd. That's next Sunday, right, Jason? Next Sunday. All attending is going to meet at the church at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and they'll caravan from here to the Peaks. And they'll return to the church by 6 p.m. that evening. So you need to get with Jason or Tyler and let them know if you're coming, and they can give you all the details on that. We've talked about the parent preparations for summer camp. I don't think I ever went to summer camp. I didn't know my parents had to get ready for me to go anyway. But anyway, your parents, you got to get ready for your kids to go to summer camp. So if your kids are signed up to go to CentraKid, then you need to be at this meeting on Sunday, April 29th. It'll be right after church. Is that right, Chad Brady? Right after church, the 29th. It'll just be a short meeting to talk about the parents and what you need to have prepared for your kids that are going to CentraKid camp this summer. Our bicycle ministry has started up again. They've already started running by here every Monday night. And if Robert Burgess has been kind of in charge of taking care of getting people working that, if you don't know what that is and you want to know about it, ask Robert Burgess about it. He'd love to tell you about it. And we can use some volunteers on Monday night from time to time to help with that. They just simply get a table out, get some Gatorade out, and the bikers come through and stay for, how long do they stay, Robert? 15, 20 minutes? You have good fellowship, they'll stay longer, okay? So what we want to do is show them brotherly love and Christian fellowship. That's what we're here for. And it's been a blessing to them and a blessing to our people that have done that. So if you want to be involved with that, you don't have to commit to do it every Monday night. If you just want to do it once a month or you don't want to do it sporadically, any of that's okay. Talk to Robert about getting involved in that. The last item I have today, there's a few lost and found items that have been placed back in the vestibule here. A couple of nice coffee cups, a hoodie jacket, and something else I can't remember. Two or three things. An umbrella, okay? So they're in the chair right here in this vestibule. If you don't get them out of here today or next week, then we're going to give them away to Goodwill or something, okay? Thank you again for being here with us. Let's pray. Father, we are so thankful to have this place to come and to worship and to glorify you. And Father, we know that everything that we have comes from you and that you've blessed us in a way that's just unimaginable. Father, we thank you for loving us. We thank you for your son, Jesus, who died for us. And we thank you for even the faith that you give us to understand and believe that not only we need him, but there's nothing else that we could do on our own to be saved. Father, we just ask you to bless this church body today, all the members and the visitors, all the families that are represented. And Father, just help us to learn something new about Jesus today. Help us to fellowship and to encourage one another. Because Lord, it's hard out here in this world. There's a lot of struggles that we all follow. A lot of things that we have to deal with. But God, we know your grace is sufficient. And we are so thankful for the way you use other Christians to encourage us and to bless us and to help us in the challenging times that we have. Father, we pray you'll be with Chad and his family. Lord, we thank you for the way he ministers both in this community and even throughout the world, God. We just thank you for the ministry that you've given us here at North Bedford. Father, we just love you and we just thank you again for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Now look, I want y'all to know I'm going out that door right there because I have to be in the nursery today. I'm not mad. I'm not leaving because anything's wrong, but I got to go, okay?
Thank you, Edward. Good morning, everybody. Join me in singing. Let's stand together and sing Worthy, You Are Worthy, hymn 142. Let's sing all three verses together. Let's stand together. Greet your neighbor this morning. Let's come back together. Let's come back together. We're going to sing hymn 3, Worthy of Worship. Let's come back together, guys. Hymn 3. Let's sing hymn 3, Worthy of Worship. Thank you.
Well, good morning. It's good to see everybody this morning. I want to take us for just the next few minutes, and I want all of you guys, I want our church family to see a window into what's been going on at Good News Club at Boonesboro Elementary School. We just finished up our spring 6-week semester at Boonesboro, and I wish all of us could go up to the Good News Club at Boonesboro Elementary School. I am so thankful, and we ought to be so thankful for the opportunity that we have, the open door that we have there with Beth Williams as the principal, who is one of my personal heroes and is just a hero of the faith in my opinion. We regularly had about 15 leaders. There were 85 children who came to Good News Club this spring, and so you need to hear it from these folks. You need a window to see what the Lord did up there on Thursday afternoons. If, after hearing this, you say, I need to go up there on Thursday afternoons, then that's the Holy Spirit whispering in your ear, and you need to come and you need to see Edward about that. Let the Lord, if he's leading you, don't shut him down, because we could use you. So you guys come and share.
This was my first year doing Good News Club. I had done it when I was a kid. In other words, the bus dropped me off at Mrs. Brown's house every week. And I can tell you a lot has changed in the 40 years since when I went to Good News Club to now. The songs are a lot louder. The kids are a lot louder. I don't know how you teachers do it every week with so many kids. 12 to 14 kids. Well, I had first graders. We had first graders this year. Melanie helped me out this year. And when they would come in and just look at me and wait and then all start talking at the same time, it was like, how am I going to do this? And that's kind of why I wanted to come up here, is to thank all of you who prayed for us, this Good News Club, whether it was before, during, or after, because that is the power behind the Good News Club. I mean, I could not have gone every week and worked with those kids without you guys praying for me. Because the one thing that didn't change from 40 years ago to now is the gospel message. It's the same. It's the same today that we tell the kids. And that's what's so exciting, is getting to tell the kids each week about Jesus and seeing the excitement in their faces and in their eyes as they worship and just want to hear more about Jesus every week. When you guys pray, there were weeks that I had no idea what I was going to do. And God would give me just in time something that would reach the kids. My husband's laughing. I see. He knew. I should thank him for making dinner every Thursday for us, too. But he would give me something every week that would reach those kids. I had one child who this spring just did not want to be there. And he would turn down the activities that we would do. He would turn down the crafts. He wouldn't even take the craft one time. And I told the group about it, and we prayed over it, and we prayed through the week over it. And I mean, I'm still praying for him. But the next week he came in, he turned around and he said, yeah, can I have one of those that you were handing out last week? We were making a little prayer journal so the kids could write down their prayers to the Lord and how God had answered them. And he wanted it, and he wanted to write down the prayers that week. And that's God. That's God working in his life. And by the end of the session, we had the opportunity to sit down with him one-on-one, two of us did, to sit down and just share the gospel with him. So he has heard the gospel one-on-one, and that would not have happened without Good News Club. So keep on praying. Keep on praying for these kids. I've invited them all to Good News Club, Vacation Bible School this summer. So I'm hoping to see some of these kids again. So keep praying that they come out and that we see them again and can keep sharing the gospel. Here's my helper, Melanie.
So serving in Good News Club was an amazing opportunity, and I was so thankful that I was able to help out every Thursday. And one of the best parts, in my opinion, of Good News Club was working with the kids. I loved bonding with them and being able to share the gospel with them every single week, and it was amazing to watch them worship God and see their eyes light up when they understood the word of God. And I thank the Lord for allowing me to work in that way, and I look forward to doing it again next year.
Don't judge me. Object lesson coming up. I'm so thankful for my co-workers at Good News Club. This year, I'm even more thankful because my wife, Ruth, was able to join us. And Judy Lindstra helped me for the first 3 weeks, and then Ruth helped me for the last 3 weeks. I think I told you earlier in the year, this was probably the most challenging group that I had dealt with. And by the end of this semester, it was probably the most interesting group I'd ever dealt with. The Lord really worked in that ministry there. And if you just think about it, how could we ever reach 60 children for an hour and 45 minutes for 6 weeks without the benefit of going into that school? You know, the Lord opened the doors for us there, and it's really amazing. I know we've gotten here before and talked about that a little bit, but it's really amazing that we can sit down with these children. You know, everything we do at Good News Club points to the cross. We're not there for entertainment purposes, although we have fun, we sing, and then we play. But everything we do is to point to the cross. You know, it doesn't matter whether we have snack time, whether we have game time, music time, the Bible time, the small group time that we have, everything points to the cross. And, you know, what we emphasize so much and what we've talked about so much is sin separates us from a holy and righteous God. Jesus had to die on the cross for our sins. A couple of years ago when we changed the format and expanded the small group time, which has meant the time that we had just myself and a co-worker with the children, I'm thinking, how can I fill up a half an hour? And it goes by so fast. Matter of fact, there's been a few times when Pastor Chad has completed his group before I've completed with mine. Sometimes the discussions, we start with review questions based on the Bible lesson, but then we, sometimes they go in different directions. And with the crowd I had this year, they went in different directions. Before, it seemed like last school year, it was more of a group thing, and everybody was kind of moving in the same direction. This time, well, at the last meeting, we had 11 in attendance, and they all were going in different directions, different personalities. I really didn't know how to address that, but the Lord had to intervene in that and show me that I had to work with them on a one-on-one basis more. And I'm very grateful for that. You know, some of the things we talk about, some of the questions that we ask during our review time based on the lessons that Chad and Edward have given. Why did Jesus die on the cross? How can you have eternal life? How can you have the eternal life God promises? What does the Trinity mean? How can you understand the Bible? What promise and command did Jesus give his disciples before he went back into heaven? According to Romans 5:8, how does God show his love to us? Who was Saul? Why did the Pharisees hate the Christians? What happened to Saul when he was going to Damascus? What happened when Ananias went to Saul? And they loved that part of the story. What did Saul do as soon as he got his eyesight back? What does sin do to your relationship with God? You know, we talked a little bit about our focus is getting the gospel message to them, not to entertain, but we can have fun sometime. And some of the words that the third graders were stumbling over a little bit was the word Pharisee. We had to explain that a little bit. The word Pentecost came up. But there was one word that they were having some problems with. And they couldn't seem to pronounce that word. And I was listening to Lamar this morning talk about spiritual gifts. And my wife has spiritual gifts in this way. She knows how to communicate with children. But anyway, they were trying to pronounce this word, and they couldn't get it out. And she reached over and grabbed this and said, "What is this?" And they said, "A purse." "Oh, persecution." The young man who got that, I feel like some years from now, when he's an adult, every time he hears that word, he's going to think of this. As Laurie said, please continue to pray for us. If you think you'd like to be a part of this ministry, see Edward or Chad. It has blessed my heart. As much change has happened to me as happened to those children. Thank you.
If you helped with Good News Club, either this past fall or this spring, I want to ask you to stand up. Oh, come on. You guys know who you are. Do I need to call names? Jesse, you did help. She said no. Father, God, I praise you for the opportunity that you have given us. God, I thank you for opening the door for us to carry your son, our Savior Jesus, to Boonesboro Elementary School. Father, I pray that you would hold that door open. I pray that you would protect Miss Williams and the ministry that we are allowed to have there. God, I pray for the children that we invested in this past fall and this spring. God, you know them. You know their names. You know their needs. You know their families. God, you know their hearts. And God, I pray that the truth that they heard, the songs that they sung, Father, I pray that the truth of the gospel of your son Jesus would continue to work in their hearts. Father, those children that already know you, Father, the encouragement that they received, God, I ask you to continue to use that even now, even though we're not meeting on Thursday afternoons now, I pray you'd continue to use that. And God, you would bear fruit from that in their lives. And God, you would grow them into men and women who know you and love you and seek you and follow you and serve you all their lives. God, I thank you for this group of leaders. Thank you again for this opportunity. Father, we just praise you for your goodness, and for your willingness to serve us, to use us, and to serve you at all. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you, Mark.
It is a blessing that we're in that school as a church, and I'm so thankful for that. I know a lot of those people that serve there sacrificed to be there. I know Melanie, she left school early. And she's a senior. From some of the school kids in here, they're probably like, that'd be awesome to leave school. But she's a senior. I'm sure she's taking tough classes. And some of these people left their jobs to go there early. How important is the gospel to them and to share God's word with those children? And because of their work there, some of the kids were able to sing this song with a new meaning, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." Let's stand together and sing hymn 624, "Since Jesus Came Into My Heart." We'll sing the first, second, and fourth verses.
Amen. Thank you, Ann. What a blessing it is that Ann, you're willing and able to fill in. We're thankful for you. Turn with me for the last time to Matthew chapter 5. We're going to look at Matthew chapter 5 one last time this morning. We've been walking through Matthew chapter 5, the beginning of what we call Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, the first few verses, the Beatitudes. But then here toward the end of the chapter, the Sermon on the Mount proper, Jesus' instruction for His disciples sitting on the bank of the Sea of Galilee or in the pews of North Bedford Baptist Church. Let's pick it up in verse 20. The Holy Spirit records Jesus' words for us. "For I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you will not enter the kingdom of heaven." Ruh-roh. "You have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not commit murder.' And whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, 'You good for nothing,' shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, 'You fool,' shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer, and you be thrown into prison. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. You have heard that it was said, 'You shall not commit adultery.' But I say to you that everyone who looks at a woman with lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. If your right hand makes you stumble, cut it off and throw it from you. For it is better for you to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. It was said, 'Whoever sends his wife away, let him give her a certificate of divorce.' But I say to you that everyone who divorces his wife, except for the reason of unchastity, makes her commit adultery, and whoever marries a divorced woman commits adultery. Again, you have heard that the ancients were told, 'You shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord.' But I say to you, make no oath at all, either by heaven, for it is the throne of God, or by the earth, for it is the footstool of his feet, or by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you make an oath by your head, for you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your statement be, 'Yes, yes,' or 'No, no.' Anything beyond these is of evil. You have heard it that it was said, 'An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth.' But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you. Do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You've heard it said, 'You shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy.' But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. For he causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and he sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? If you greet only your brothers, what more are you doing than others? Do not even the Gentiles do the same? Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Father, I thank you for the instruction that your son has given us here. God, I praise you for not allowing us to drift off into our own understanding, but Father, to bring us back and to show us your perspective, to give us your thought. Father, thank you for being a faithful Father who teaches us. And God, I ask you to so work in our hearts, oh God, that we would learn. God, I pray that you would take your word and that you would do the work in our hearts that we so desperately need you to do this morning. God, if your Holy Spirit does not work, Father, we are wasting our time. We need you. Pray that you would be our teacher this morning. In his name we pray. Amen. Ladies, for the song, and also for the example of your lives that shows us the truth of that song. We appreciate all three of you. We know that that's true. How can we be weary? How can we be lonely when we walk with Jesus every day? Matthew chapter 5. Jesus, here in the Sermon on the Mount, as we have walked, we have watched Jesus make some corrections to what the Pharisees are teaching God's people. That's why he says, "You've heard it said." Well, who they heard it say from was from the Pharisees, who were the spiritual leaders of the people. He says, "You've heard it said this, but I say to you this." Because the description of God's will and God's word that the Pharisees were offering was wrong. The description of who was God's man and God's woman that the Pharisees was offering was wrong. The Pharisees considered themselves to be very godly, and they would say, "Look at me, this is what I do and I say, and these are the things. I do it all right, and I do all of this, and this is what it looks like to be God's child." And Jesus says, "No, that's not what it looks like to be God's child. What it looks like is, blessed is the man who hungers and thirsts for righteousness. Blessed is the man who mourns. Blessed is the man who is pure in heart." And Jesus begins to show that it's not just you've done this and this and this. Jesus begins to show that it really is the attitude of your heart that reflects the character of God. But Jesus offers a challenge or a caveat when we get to verse 17. And he says, "Do not think that I came to abolish the law or the prophets. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill." Here are the two challenges that we face that Jesus is correcting. And we need, as people who follow Christ, as those who are called by His name, we have got to remember this, that our relationship with the Lord cannot be all behavior and no heart, like the Pharisees. It was all behavior, but their heart was wicked. But then it can also not be all heart with no behavior. Jesus does not say, in my correction of the Pharisees' heart, that does not mean that God does not want holiness of life in His people. So it cannot be all heart and no behavior. We don't have the excuse that says, "Well, my heart's in the right place. I might struggle with this over here, but my heart's in the right place." No. That's not what God says, describes His man or His woman. We get to verse 20, and He says, "Your righteousness, the righteousness of the one who has been redeemed, who has been saved, who has trusted Christ, who will inherit the kingdom," as Jesus says. God's man, God's woman, your righteousness needs to exceed, to be greater than the righteousness of the Pharisees. It's not just that you do the right things and say the right things and show up at church on Sunday morning. No, Jesus is about to describe for us, here's how you apply that. Here's how this works out. And He is going to list about six different areas of our life, and He's going to show, you've heard this, but what the Lord is really looking for is this. You want to be pleasing to the Lord? Here's what you need to consider. We talked briefly in verse 21. Jesus says, "You've heard it said, don't murder." Listen, most of us in here, might not be all of them, might be a few of us in here that are stragglers, but most of us in here never committed murder. Most. So I've never murdered my neighbor, so I'm good, right? Anybody Anybody ever, man, been so angry with your neighbor that you just can't stand him? Sure. Maybe not your neighbor like down the street, but what about the guy who just cut you off in the road? Anybody ever call that guy some names? Jesus says, you heard it said that if you commit murder, you'll be guilty. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. So Jesus is saying, listen, just because you haven't murdered anybody, or you might even say, I've never touched him, never laid hands on him, just because you've never crossed that line into behavior, that doesn't mean that your heart won't make you guilty, that your heart is wrong. And we need to deal with our heart. Now, let's take it one step further. Jesus takes it one step further. Look at what he says. He says, verse 23, he says, therefore, if you are presenting your offering at the altar and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Here's what he's saying. All right, I hear Jesus. He said to the Pharisees, it's not enough that you just didn't murder the guy. Okay, now I've got to work on my heart. So I want to work on my heart. I don't want my heart to respond in anger. I want my heart, okay, I need to not be angry. I need to not flash out in frustration. I need to not let my heart do that. I want to be able to respond to the people around me, not with anger, to have some peace, to have some control, some self-control in my heart. I need to be able to do that. I don't want to be angry. Even if I don't murder them, I don't want to be angry. But Jesus says, okay, we got to get control of our hearts. But then you know what? It's not enough to just say, well, I'm not an angry person. I didn't get angry that time. Jesus says, Now you need to act. Because, see, there is a behavior side to holiness as well. He says, you need to not be angry. But then he says, go. If there is somebody that has something against you, even if you don't consider yourself guilty, if you find, you remember that somebody has something against you, what do you do? Well, I'm not angry at them anymore. I've fixed that. I've worked on that. I'm not angry at them anymore. My heart is, I have the right heart. But that's not all that you need to do. Jesus says, go. Reconcile with them. Fix what's broken in that relationship. It's not enough to just say, well, I'm not angry with them anymore. Well, that's great, but go and restore the relationship. He says, leave your offering before the altar and go. First be reconciled to your brother and then come and present your offering. Can I tell you the implication of what Jesus is saying? That the way that you treat people, not just your attitude and your heart, but the way that you treat other people, that affects the way that we relate to the Lord. It does. The way that we relate to other people affects the way that we relate to the Lord, because God is concerned not just with my heart. It's not enough to say I'm not angry with them anymore. God is concerned with our behavior. God wants us to have the right heart, but then go and do the right thing. And that affects our relationship with the Lord. Let's keep going. He says, verse 25, he says, make friends quickly with your opponent at law while you are with him on the way, so that your opponent may not hand you over to the judge and the judge to the officer and you be thrown into prison. Here's what's happening. The situation in that verse is that we are the subject, that we have done something wrong to somebody. And the temptation that Jesus is working against is the temptation to say, well, I've asked Jesus to forgive me. I'm not going to do that anymore. I know that that was wrong, and I have fixed my heart, and to just leave it at that. And Jesus says, no, it cannot stop at the heart level. You have now got to go and act. You've now got to go and be reconciled. Fix what you have done wrong. Go to that person. Make restitution with that person. It's not enough just to say, well, I've got the right heart in the matter. No, Jesus says you've got to act. Because holiness has to do with our heart and our behavior. So you go and act. Why? Verse 26, this is very important. Truly I say to you, you will not come out of there until you have paid up the last cent. Let me tell you what Jesus is communicating here. Jesus is using a hypothetical situation of somebody who is in debt and somebody who is about to be thrown into debtor's prison. Now, this is the way it used to operate. If you were in debt and you couldn't pay your debt, you would be thrown into jail until you could pay your debt. We used to say at VMI, the beatings will continue until morale improves. Right? That's the way. Thrown into jail until you can pay your debt. How long do you think you're going to be there? Until Jesus comes back. You'll never be able to work your way out of debt in jail. Jesus is saying, in that situation, if you find yourself in debt, then you are going to be held responsible. Here is what Jesus is saying. In our relationships with other people, now, listen to me. In our relationships with other people, even if our heart is right, we are going to be held responsible with how we treat other people. We will. It is not enough to just say, oh, my heart's right, I'm not angry anymore, or I've asked Jesus to forgive me. No, we're going to be held responsible for how we treat other people. It is our heart and our behavior that Jesus is after. Before we go any farther, and obviously we're not going to hit every single instance that Jesus mentions in this passage, but let me just point something out to you. There is a great temptation in the Big C Church, in the culture of our Christianity, at least here in America. You look around at Christianity around us. There is a great temptation, even a trend, I think, to make excuses for our behavior by saying, my heart's in the right place. There is a great temptation to excuse sin as an action by saying, well, I meant well, or I'm not angry anymore. Jesus, in this passage, that is exactly what Jesus is talking about. That you cannot make excuses for sin in action by saying that your heart is right. You cannot do it. Because what the Lord describes as His child is somebody who has holiness in our heart and holiness in our behavior as well. That is what the Lord is looking for. Romans chapter 6. Don't go on presenting the members of your flesh as instruments of unrighteousness. Romans chapter 8. You are no longer slaves of unrighteousness, but now you have been made slaves of righteousness. See, Christ, looking to Christ as our Savior, Jesus, saving us, forgiving us of our sin, giving us new life, that has to change the way that we act. It cannot just change my heart, and it certainly cannot just change my address after I die. It changes our life. It has to. It has to change the way that we behave, not just my heart. You cannot make excuses for sin in our behavior by saying, oh, my heart was right. Let's keep going. And let me just mention to you, we get to verse 27. There's no need to cover verse 27 and 28. We've all heard verse 27 and 28. But let me tell you, what he is talking about is holiness. He is talking about purity. He is talking about a fight with sin. And I want you to listen. We're not going to spend but just a minute, but I want you to listen to the extreme nature of Jesus' fight against sin. Verse 29. If your right eye makes you stumble, tear it out and throw it from you. For it's better to lose one of the parts of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Here's Jesus' point. When it comes to holiness in my heart and holiness in my behavior, Jesus is saying, listen, whatever it takes, you pursue holiness. Because when we stand before the Lord, there will be no excuses. We will not be able to stand before the Lord and say, oh, Jesus, this sin that's been in my life, it's there because I had a problem with my eyes. And the Lord will say, a problem with your eyes? Why didn't you pluck your eyes out to get rid of the problem with sin? Why didn't you cut your hand off to get rid of the problem with sin? Jesus is not really saying to pluck your eyes out. He is showing the extreme nature of our fight with sin. That is how extreme our pursuit of holiness has to be in our behavior. If He has called us His own, then we need to pursue what pleases Him in my heart, but also in my behavior. Let's keep going. Verse 31 and 32, He deals with divorce. In our culture, we make a lot of excuses for that. But Jesus does not offer many excuses. He offers one. Verse 33. Again, you've heard that the ancients were told, you shall not make false vows, but shall fulfill your vows to the Lord. So here's what the Pharisees have said. The Pharisees have said, listen, when you swear an oath, make sure you fulfill it. Well, that seems reasonable. Well, that seems pretty good. Jesus says, listen, you don't need to make an oath at all. He says, you don't need to swear by heaven. You don't need to swear by earth. You don't need to swear by your head because you can't control any of those things. None of those things are under your control. Jesus says, you shouldn't have to make an oath at all. Why? Because what you say should be consistent with your heart. Let your yes be yes and your no, no. That what we say needs to be consistent with what's in our heart. You don't have to swear to prove to somebody that you really do mean what you mean. You really should mean what you mean. Here's what Jesus is getting at. This is a difficult situation because we don't really have an issue with swearing and oath taking. We take an oath. If you go to court and you put your right hand on the Bible, that's probably about the only time that any of us are ever going to actually take an oath. That's not a part of our culture. Here's what Jesus is getting at. This is a real opportunity to see very clearly that what I do, what I say, what comes out of my mouth, my behavior has got to be consistent with what's in my heart. Got to be. My behavior, what comes out, has got to be consistent with my heart. I cannot justify something that I say just because, well, this is what I meant. No, you said this, and it doesn't make what you said any better just because your heart was right. Even if your heart's right, what you say was wrong. That's his point. Jesus is saying your heart and your behavior have to be holy. They've got to be consistent. Let me show you one other. Drop all the way down. And I hate that we have to skip over it, but we got to. I want to finish the chapter this morning because we're moving on next Sunday, doing something different. Verse 43, you've heard it said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. That seems reasonable. Listen, love my neighbor, but if somebody opposes me, listen, I'm going to oppose them if they oppose me. Listen, if somebody's working against me, am I required to love somebody that's working against me? Verse 44, but I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you so that you may be sons of your Father who is in heaven. Jesus says that our love is not just for those who love us in return. Our love is not just for those who are like us. Our love is not just for those who are kind to us. He says you love even your enemies, and you pray for those who persecute you. You work for the good of people who are opposed to your good. What? Yes. Why? Why in the world would Jesus say we have to do that? Jesus says, because we are to be sons of our Father. Here's his point. That our lives are to be a reflection of God's character. That our hearts and our actions are to be a reflection of our Heavenly Father's character, the Lord. Does the Lord just look down on earth and he sees the few that are his? And it is a few. I do not believe that the majority of the world belong to Christ. I believe it is a few. Does he look down and he says, you know what? I'm only going to send rain on the farmers that belong to me. And you get like cloud burst right over this 100 acres. No, you know what? He allows even those who are his enemies to live and breathe and grow and make a profit and provide for themselves. He allows them to do that and even provides the rain and the resources that they need to live and to thrive, even though they're working against him. He allows them to do that. Jesus says to be a reflection of our Father, we've got to love like that, to be good to people, to pray for them. If you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even the tax collectors do the same? You cannot be different and distinct if you only love those who love you. The world around us talks a lot about love. The world around us talks about love, and the world holds up love as a great value. In fact, the world would hold up people who exhibit love in their lives and say, look at these people. These are heroes. We should all love like these. Let me tell you something. The world, do you know that the world around us cannot manufacture Christ-like love? They cannot do it. As much as they value love, they cannot manufacture Christ-like love. Christ-like love can only be found in the life of one in whom the Spirit of Christ lives, because love is a fruit of the Spirit. Do you know what the difference is? The difference is the world around us only loves those who are deserving of love. The innocent, the friend. The world around us, when they talk about love, they really only mean love for those who are deserving of our love. They do not mean love for those who do not deserve our love. Only those who are Christians, only within the church, only those in whose lives the Holy Spirit is at work growing His fruit, only there can you truly see Christ-like love, who is willing, the kind of love that's willing to sacrifice and love those who are your enemies. It's only here. And so if it's not if it's not in us, where's the world going to see that? They won't. Jesus says, you've heard it said, listen, just love your neighbors, but people that are against you, you don't have to love them. You can be as mean to them as you want to. You can cuss them out if you want to. No. Let me challenge you with something. What Jesus is describing here, I want you to go back just in the last 2 weeks. Maybe go back a month. Let the Holy Spirit scan through the last couple of weeks of your life. Maybe you haven't murdered, but what about anger? Maybe you haven't committed adultery, but what about lust? What about the things that you say that you don't really mean? What about how you treat people who take from you? Jesus says, give them your coat too. What about your love for the people who are not? Here's what Jesus is saying. God wants holiness in His people. God wants a heart and behavior that reflects His character. We cannot make excuses and say, well, my heart's in the right place. No, Jesus wants our actions, our behavior too. We cannot make excuses and say, well, I didn't murder him. I didn't cross that line. No, but your heart was wrong. God wants our lives. Watch this, verse 48, the last verse in the chapter. Therefore, you are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect. Jesus is teaching us that what it looks like to belong to Christ, what it looks like to be His is to be pursuing holiness. Holiness in my heart, holiness in my actions, and to not make excuses for sin. There is no excuse for sin. What do we do with sin? 1 John 1:9. If we confess it, He is faithful and just to forgive us, cleanse us. We confess sin. That means that we agree with the Father what that is wrong, that we should not have done that, and that has no place in my life as a Christian. And we fight to get it out. And we ask Him for the help, the power, and the strength to defeat that sin in our life. We do not make excuses for sin, because Jesus is describing, here is what this man or this woman looks like. This man or this woman that belongs to Christ, that is His child, that will inherit the kingdom. Here is what that looks like. And He says, that person, we have the responsibility to be perfect as He is perfect. We don't make excuses for sin. We fight sin. It's not enough that my heart is right. God wants my life, my actions. It's not enough that I didn't cross this line. God wants my heart, my thoughts. He wants it all. Father, God, I praise You that Your Son taught us and that You have preserved these words for our son, God, from Your Son. God, how would we know these things if You had not written them down for us? God, we would not come to these same conclusions on our own. Oh, Father, we would make so many excuses. But God, thank You for teaching us what it is that You want and what pleases You and the life that You would have Your child live. God, I pray that we would be faithful. Oh, Father, I pray that our heart, our lives, God, it would all be Yours. In Jesus' name. You know, There's a verse that I am thankful for. That on our own, we have no right to even call God our Father. But Galatians chapter 2 says that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but through faith in Christ Jesus. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus so that we may be justified, forgiven, just if I'd never sinned, that we are given the righteousness of Christ. Not because we're able to work on our own, but because Jesus died for us to pay for our sin and rose again to give us His life. We don't even have the right to call God our Father on our own. It is only because of Christ that we can now look to God as our Father and seek to please Him. If you are here this morning and you have never trusted Christ as your Savior, that's where your relationship with the Father has got to begin. That's where it all starts, that you look to the cross and you say, I am not worthy to call you Father, but Jesus came. He who knew no sin became sin for me so that I might become the righteousness of God. And you look to Him and through Jesus have new life and are invited into the throne room of heaven to call God your Father and to be taught and guided to be pleasing to Him. That's where it all starts. If you are here and you have never trusted Jesus like that, and I beg you not to leave today without doing that. I would love to share more about what it means to trust Jesus as your Savior. I'll be standing here in the front when we stand and sing. But as we stand and sing, brothers and sisters, listen. Maybe it is that you go back over the last 2 weeks and there are some things that the Holy Spirit puts His finger on. And you need to stop making excuses for those things and to say to the Lord, right, oh God, that doesn't please you. That has no place in my life. God, I've got to get that out. God, I don't want a heart attitude that is angry or anything in my heart that doesn't please you. God, I don't want to do anything that doesn't please you or that doesn't reflect your character. God, help me. Purify my heart. God, purify my behavior. God, make me holy. God, I want to be like you. God, I want to be pleasing to you in all everything of my life. I want my life to be yours. That needs to be our plea. And if as we're singing, if the Holy Spirit puts His finger and says, this area right here, this is not pleasing to me, and you've been making excuses for it, you've been allowing it to be there, and it's time for that to come to an end, to bring it to the Lord and confess it for what it is, to ask for His help. Now is the time. Now is when His Holy Spirit is at work. Don't stiff-arm the Holy Spirit and walk out of here and not respond in the way that He is dealing with your heart right now. Let's stand and sing.